Mark 12:24. Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken?" In other words, you are therefore mistaken. Double negative or something. "Because you do not know the scriptures, and you do not know the power of God." How do we get into the power of God? Well, you go through the scriptures. My prayer, my hope, my expectation for being together with you today is that you would walk out of here in 65 minutes, roughly, with a renewed vigor for the scriptures, with the specific technique of the hand illustration, that you could do it with anybody, anytime, and it would be something that you would put into your kit of tools. A good disciple maker has tools. Not too many, just a few. But he really knows how to use them. And that's the way we hope for all of us to experience today. You will have shared this tool as the last thing we do today. Well, then we have question and answer. So don't save up your questions. Just butt in there any old time. But we'll have a specific time at the end to think about questions of any sort. So that's why I'm here, and it's a deep pleasure. I count it as a blessing that you are here, that you've chosen to be with us. We're going to give a role play of this tool, and we're going to talk about observations when we get finished. So if you just put your thinking cap on and think about how this could be used, how it applies, and we'll go over some detail from your handout. So Brian is walking down the road, and we happen to wind up together. I say, "Hey, Brian, how you doing?"
"I'm doing good, thank you."
"Great. You know, we've been talking recently about memorized scripture, and I notice you have quite a bit of it memorized. That's good. But I'm thinking it's about time for us to do this hand illustration. If you've been around me, you've probably heard about it, but I think you haven't gone into it in depth and come out the other side with a strong conviction on using it in a powerful way. So let's just kick off here. If you'd like to draw... Now, we've got simulated chairs. Because we sit down, we can't see over you. But you wouldn't probably stand up for 15 minutes to share this. You'd sit down and be comfortable with your cup of Starbucks. Okay, put your hand on the deal there and draw around it.
Left to right?
Yes.
Okay.
Dawson Trotman, you remember him?
I know of him, I don't remember him.
That's right. I think he coined this tool. And it's already beginning to be more real to me just seeing your hand there. Wow, pretty big hand. So he said there's five appendages to your hand, and each one of these is a way of getting into God's Word, a way of getting a grip on God's Word. So Brian, the first one is to hear, and that is the little finger. Each of these things that you see in the column called method is a different one of these things here. All right? Fingers and thumb. So the little finger, it stands for hear. Hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then... Oh, yeah, I forgot what I was going to do there. Brian, since you know a lot of these verses, if you have it memorized, would you just quote it for us? So Romans 10:17.
I don't have that one. Somebody got it?
Faith comes by hearing.
There you go.
And hearing by the word of God. So that's write that down.
What's the reference?
Romans 10:17. Okay.
Now, this corresponds to holding on to something with your little finger only. Now, the devil has come into this situation. He doesn't like it when you start getting serious about God's Word. He'd like to derail you. And one of the ways he derails you is he tries to grasp the Word of God and pull it away from you. So I'll be the devil in this situation. And let's see if you can pull that out away from me. Go ahead and... Okay, well, don't tear my Bible up.
We haven't practiced this, so...
So as a result, and just the nature of human communications, the method is here. But we can only remember about 10% of what we hear. Let me test this. How many of you can remember the sermon that your pastor preached this past week, about 5 days ago? One? So, two? What was it, Les?
Ours was on God being real, because our pastor was leaving. It was his last sermon, so he was challenging us to let him continue to be real. Even though our pastor was leaving, who had been there for many years, to encourage to keep on being faithful.
Yeah. Well, that's two out of, how many are in here? About 60? So maybe it's lower than 10%. Most of the time when I do this, I ask them, here's the percentage, the retention. And I get some real low numbers. But I would say 10%. Application, we'll come back to that in a minute. So Brian, the next one, the ring finger, is to read. So, have you got one of these verses memorized? Now, the thing here, Brian, is one of these days you're going to be sharing this with somebody, and you want to use your own verses that go in there. Now, these verses are powerful, they're good ones, and they're all favorites of God. But be thinking as we go through, which one of these three verses you'd like to use if you were sharing the hand illustration? Which one do you know?
I don't have a favorite among those.
Do you have one that you have memorized?
Nor do I have one that I have memorized.
All right. Look this up.
Which one do you want me to look up?
Well, look up Revelation 1:3.
All right. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near.
Blessed are those who read and put it in practice. So we should have a reading program. What is your reading program, Brian?
You want the real Brian or simulated Brian?
I think they're pretty close.
Wow.
So we'll take the simulated one here, and if we don't like that, we'll change over.
Simulated. I think it's a good idea to read the Bible. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
What do you mean by program?
So, would you say are you happy with your program?
I guess I have a program.
Okay. Well, let's put that down for a future lesson, a tool that you can use powerfully.
Okay, got it. Hearing and reading.
Okay, hearing and reading. Just out of these two, I want to point up something I let slip by me on, to hear the Word of God. How do you go about hearing the Word of God? And what are some of the ideas here that, you know, we could... And you are already practicing this, most of them, I would say, but maybe I can help you fit something else in there.
Going to church.
Okay. Going to church. How often do you do that?
Weekly.
So 1 hour a week. Or 1 hour makes 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all. What else do you...
Oh, I guess you could radio or
Have you heard this discipleship? I know you're in your company. You make good use of the internet. And Brad Ray has been busy translating or messages given by navigators and others over the years. And he's got about 25,000 of these things out there and ready to go. I noticed you had your eye patch or whatever it's called.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Why don't we see if we could get that to play? Oh my, that's interesting.
Picture yourself in the Philippines, the town of Baguio, a town of about 100,000 people, in the northern mountainous region, about a mile high up in northern Luzon in the Philippines. You just met Maria yesterday at her college dorm. A group of students came down to hear you and another fellow sit in what is sometimes called a kitchen at one end of the dorm to talk about what Jesus Christ can bring into a life. Now, kitchen might be a little bit of a fancy word for that room, because it was about 9 feet by 9 feet with a concrete sink, very rough, running along one side. There was no running water, however, but plenty of running cockroaches. There was one light bulb hanging from a wire in the middle of the room, and it was such a small bulb, so dim, that even with the help of the force of gravity, the light rays would hardly reach down to our Bible pages that we were reading from. 10 or 12 students crowded in there on makeshift stools and benches to hear in a nation which is surrounded with religious symbols, but they were anxious to hear what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ. Because of the prevailing religious background of most of these students, we've been stressing the fact that God loves each of them deeply. Now, in a nation where the masses really teem, it's something special to be thought of as one that God loves personally. Because of the general spiritual apathy, we stress that each of us had continually been living in ways that displease ourselves, that please ourselves and displease God. God calls it sin. You can't get away with it. And we told them from the Bible what the penalty for this is: eternal tragic separation from the goodness and love of God. Most people in the room about this time were a little bit uptight. Well, we were talking about the bad news. So we moved on to the good news. Although God is perfectly just, He is also completely loving. And He provided a way that every one of us could have that penalty that is due to us paid for by Jesus Christ. The story was very familiar to them, but we reminded them that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life in perfection, and yet He voluntarily died on the cross to pay the penalty for each one of us.
Well, that's a mighty nice little thing there, Brian.
Yeah, I didn't know that was out there. That's cool.
And 25,000, it'd take you a while to listen to that many.
Yes, it would.
But you can look it up by the topic, by the speaker, and by the key verse it's talked about there. So let's see if we can't add that into this method. If you wanted to be intentional about seeking out things that you, because the pastor just designed something that he likes to hear. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the ways in which you could become more intentional on ways that you, on topics that you need to, that you've chosen or seemed important to you. So how could we do that? So put some numeric stuff to that. Could you listen to one tape a week?
Yeah, sure.
Just keep that little thing. Whoosh, boy. Maybe I'll get one of those from Santa Claus. Is that too low a goal? Could you do more?
Yeah, I could probably do more, but...
Start here.
Maybe start with one a week. Sounds good.
Okay. All right, and I'll check you next week. And if you just don't mind, have a card and just write on there that you listened to this tape and when it was. And let me have it, and I'll keep those, and one of these days I'll give them back to you as a reminder of the messages that you've done. So that's good to pick up a specific thing for your life. And you might also think about memorizing Romans 10:17. Just put it as a matter of... I think you have a list in the back of your Bible called FM.
Yes, I do.
What does that stand for?
Future memory.
And it's there. How many verses do you have in your FM?
Probably about 80.
Wow. So I would.
That means I'm behind.
Aren't we all?
Okay, so that's good, and I appreciate you sharing that with us on your little eye patch. Okay, the next one is to read. We've done Revelation 1:3. Now you remember more than reading because it's more intentional. You've got your Bible in your hand or your book that you're reading in your hand. But remember only about 20% of what you read. This would vary from people to people, but does that sound reasonable or about what you expect out of yourself?
Yeah, that's probably about right, I guess. 20-25% maybe.
You're going for some retention, that's right. Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh, before we do, let's see if you use hear and read together, see how much it takes to pull that out. Yep, the devil can get that one too. So let's go to the next one, which is study. Now, notice when I was in your quarters that you have a big notebook that says vigorous Bible study or something like that. Was that a three-ring binder? That's probably over in that backpack.
Yeah.
What?
A Bible study notebook.
Tell me what it is that you got there.
It's a collection of studies on different topics and different books.
And who did you get it from?
Many different places over time.
So it was not a specific short program. It's something that you've personally built up over time.
Yes.
I kind of wish that you'd learn everything from me. No, just kidding. Acts 17:11. These are more worthy than those. And that they receive the scriptures with all readiness of mind and study them daily to see whether they were so. So when Paul preached, the people who were noble made notes and took it home and studied it up to make sure, and studied the scriptures, comparing what Paul said against the scriptures. And what were the scriptures in those days? Old Testament or New Testament?
Old Testament.
Just the Old Testament. So he had to verify the reliability of the scriptures from the Old Testament. Can you do that?
Probably need some work on that.
Yeah, to make it more specific. That's right. And James 1:25, have you got that one?
Yeah, why don't we come back to that one?
Okay, is it... what page is that on?
After we get through with this.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, the intention here is to pick up one verse and get it memorized that I could handle it. I shared the tool with a lady who's 90-some-odd years old. She's over 90. And when it was over, she could go like this and hold on to it and look at me and smile. So it's good for all ages and all stages. So that's study. About how much do you think you would retain of what you study? By the way, study implies written reproduction. In other words, you've got your pencil out, your pen, you're reading, and making notes. You're obviously going to remember this a lot more, and they say that you can typically remember about 50% of the things that you study. So if you hear, read, and study, now try to pull that away from you. Yep, you can still do it. Better get this a little bit more down there. I'm going to lose everything I've studied. The next one is to memorize. So we've got hear, read, study, memorize. Psalm 119:11, the word have I hid in my bookcase, that I might not sin against thee. That's not right?
No.
What? That word have I hid in my glove box?
Get closer.
Heart. You know what? God is looking down at what's going on here. And he's looking in your heart and my heart. It's amazing, isn't it? But by memorizing, we get it in there and it's permanent. I'm sorry I stole your verse there. You probably know that one.
That's fine. Keep going.
Do you know this one?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and quote it.
Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise, for it is pleasing when you keep them on your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. Proverbs 22:17-18.
Boy, that's one I'm going to put down on my FM. I didn't know that. That's really good. Do you begin to see a framework here of verses that were here and there and over here? Puts into a framework with this that you can share with. It's sequential and it's practical. This is a neat deal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the last one, which is meditate. I know you know that verse, so go ahead and quote it for us.
Which one are you looking at?
Joshua 1:8.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
That's good. Let's take a verse and meditate on it. When you meditate, what do? Just go to sleep? Or what do you think it means?
I guess it means to think about it.
Think about it. Okay. How do you think about these days? Visualize a guy smoking a pipe, you know, and smoke comes up and he looks at the smoke and somehow he gets the Bible and mixed in it with. I'll just look this up. Let's look it up here. Did you notice how I can turn to within 2 pages of any verse in the Bible with this ladder? If you don't have one, it would greatly improve your ability to look up verses. So, Romans 3:23. And we're just going to do this, Brian. You might not like this. I've got a study or a paper I did one time. Let's read this. We'll go back and forth. They all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, this bit of meditation is take each word and say it louder than the others. So, and then we can stop any time and you can discuss why it's, what it makes it distinctive. So, reading on this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, now you read the next one, emphasizing the next word in the verse the way I did.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
I was kind of falling. I was putting,
that's good.
Yeah. For all have sinned and fall short. Is that the right word? The verse I'm on? Fall short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, did you get the idea how that kind of is a way to go into the rooms of a house and go into the living room and you think about that, and just a parallel of the way. But is there something that stood out in your mind as we meditated on that?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, I just think right from the very beginning the word all jumped out to me.
You might remember that I had John in my car, and I was in his car when I was in another country. And he was an unbeliever. But I thought, well, I'm losing my verses by not being able to review them while I drive to work in my car. And usually that's a good place to meditate and memorize, you know, and review. So I told John, I said, before we started writing to work together, I would take some little Bible verses and review them. And I, since we're together now, I haven't been doing that, and I'm starting to forget these things. Would you mind? And I know you're not a church-going man, but would you mind just checking me to see, because I want to be able to say these word for word. So I called up, and he said, "Oh, it's no problem. So I pulled up the first one. I said, "For some have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So I tricked him. He said, "No, it's all." I said, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, all have fall short of all have sinned." "Oh, okay. Did I ever tell you that little story?"
"I didn't know that one."
How much of what we memorize will we remember? 100%. That's what memory means. Now, let's see what we've got here. Hear, read, study, memorize, 100%, and meditate. Notice you meditate with your... No, you don't meditate with your thumb, but as you meditate... The devil is trying to take that away from you. Go ahead and try. Now, you can maintain against the devil's wiles verses that you have heard, read, studied, memorized, and meditate. Do you think we can maybe do this each week for a few weeks to make sure that it's really down in there in your mind and your soul?
Yeah, I think I can do that.
Any thoughts about this?
Sounds pretty straightforward.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's pray, and I'll see you again next week for our regular time. Okay, let's observe what you saw. What would be your observations? The place to write these down on right there above the box.
Do I deserve an Oscar? It's a good thing that I've got a different job than acting, so. There you go.
What's the percentage of meditation?
Well, where I've heard it measured is 100%, because it just puts it down in there in your heart. And if you don't memorize it, you're going to lose it. So they work together, I think. Do you think that's right? Okay, something else you observed.
Too bad we don't have six fingers, because we need review in this mm-hmm. process somewhere.
Yeah. Good. Thank you for that. Other observations?
You asked a lot of questions instead of giving a lot of commands.
There's two of the questions that I sometimes would use. And after each one, I would say, "How are you doing in this?" After each hearing, "How are you doing at hearing? Tell me about it." And then, "Would you like to improve?" And so would you like me to help you figure out how to improve? And can we set up some kind of accountability situation? Who could do that? Maybe your wife or your teenage son? And I could do that with each one of these pieces of the puzzle: hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating. ask those questions. Okay, what else did you observe?
I like the way you described how anybody can use that illustration anywhere. You know, everybody's got a hand, and it's easy to remember. Like you're talking about, I guess it was an elderly lady. So I think just the transferability of that, as you were able to share it, was great.
We went from the peak to the pit of technology. From his eye patch, and then something like just your hand.
You have to have the hand with the eye patch in there.
Yeah. By the way, some people got to goofing around with this one day and added two more items to the list. Would you like to know what they are? And you may have been thinking anyway, is that conclusive and exclusive? No, it's a thought process. But the first extra one is serving, and so it's the whole hand or the palm. Because after I've come away from being with God, I really ought to be eager to share that with somebody. That'll cause it to become deeper with me. So it's this, you know. And then the other is the fist. That's application. Oh, that's hurts. Strive for mastery in all this, in all areas this year, for greater joy and effectiveness. Okay, we're going to ask you to practice this now. You want to take over, Brian?
Sure.
Well, Brian, is there anything you observed? I forgot to ask that.
I certainly have some thoughts. Dad has probably forgotten more wisdom than I've accumulated. But a couple of thoughts on maybe a few of these categories for me personally. When we talked about hearing, one of the things that I like to think about is that there's so many great opportunities to hear. Like, we went to the discipleship library. There's podcasts, great teachers, all available now because of technology and in such convenient ways. If you're anything like me, the more I grow, the more I need that, the more I need to hear. The problem is hearing is secondary, right? That's what Dad was saying. It's not primary. When we read, when we study, when we memorize, we meditate, it's primary. And when we hear, we're hearing somebody else's insights. Somebody else has grappled with the Holy Spirit. And that's effective in moving our hearts and changing our lives. But it's I want to stop with just hearing. On reading, one of the simple ideas that I love, just to kind of keep this in your mind when you're talking to somebody about reading the Word, is reading the Word is reading a love letter from God. It's not reading a newspaper that you skim or a magazine that you flip. It's a love letter. And how do we read a love letter? We read it frequently. We read it carefully. We read it often. So it's just a simple way to kind of think about explaining how to read the Bible. And we skipped over on study, James 1:25. There's a simple phrase at the beginning of James 1:25 that talks about looking intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. And that word, look intently, literally means to stoop down. So it's getting beyond reading, even reading with frequency. It's stooping down to peer and look closely. We grew up in New Zealand for a while. And I was with my wife in Big Sur, California, last week, and it reminded me a lot of being in New Zealand. Incredible, breathtaking views of the Pacific Ocean up on a cliff, and just, I mean, I think in the U.S., one of the most awesome sort of sights you can possibly see. But what was fun for me was we had an opportunity to hike down to the ocean. If you've ever been to that Pacific coastline, you know how rocky the shore is and the waves are coming in, and you get down right in the rocks and find those tidal pools that are resting in the and the cracks and the crannies of the rocks. And it reminded me of our childhood in New Zealand, because that's what we used to do. We used to run out to the ocean, and we would go down in these tidal pools. And that's where the action was. It wasn't the big view from up on the cliff and seeing the breakers roll in. It was getting down in those tidal pools and seeing the sea anemones and the shrimp and all of this sort of microscopic sea life that you would completely overlook if you didn't take the time to really stoop down and slow down. And that's what the heart of study is all about. It's a way that I like to think of it. One thing we didn't talk about is just practically, from a study perspective, there's so many tools, so many materials available. I think at the end of the day, one of the simplest things to teach somebody or to learn for yourself is that basic method of the three kinds of what, right? You read something and you study it and you find out what it says, and then you ask yourself the question, so what? So what does it mean? And then, now what? Now what do I do about this? Just keep that simple approach, and there's so much to apply that, you know, you'll never get it done. What? So what? Now what? The last thing is just to jump to meditate. Meditate, I think, is that just essential element of getting the word from your head into your heart. And the one thing that we want to work so hard to not deceive ourselves with is the idea of puffing ourselves up with knowledge, with insight, and not having that find its way into our heart and really changing who we are. Dad went through the sort of word emphasis technique of walking through a verse and emphasizing each word. I think that's really effective. I love what Rick Warren says in A Purpose-Driven Life, where he talks about worrying. He says, if you don't know how to meditate, but you know how to worry, then you're covered. Because we all know how to worry, right? And how do we worry? Well, we think about something, we think about it from a different direction, we think about it again, we try to get it out of our minds, and it comes back in, and we just keep rolling that around in our head. And that's really a simple way to think about what meditation is. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. That is 2 Timothy 2:7. So there's a promise, there's many promises, I'm just picking this one out, that we can hang on to, cling to, that if we take time to reflect, meditate, mull over the word, then God promises right there, 2 Timothy 2:7, that He will give us insight. If we don't reflect, then we're going to miss out on that opportunity for insight. And by the way, to use one of Dad's techniques, he doesn't say, reflect on what I'm saying for Howard Hendricks will give you insight into all this. Mm-hmm. Or reflect on what I'm saying for Chuck Swindoll will give you insight. He says, for the Lord will give you insight. So I think one of the things that we want to do is pray and ask God for insight, even as we're diligent in memorizing, meditating, really pouring ourselves into the Word, and then expect that promise to be answered. So what we wanted to do, I think we've got time.
I've got one thing I want to stick in here.
Yeah, jump in.
Brian put this in our handout, tools, not rules. That's real important. Because especially around the navigators, give me the latest tool. We may be missing out on the whole direction that God would have us go by trying to get tools from them. So it's they're helpful, but dangerous. That's all.
Yeah. I like that one. My pastor, Matt Chandler, says it frequently. You like Matt Chandler, all right. He says, tools, not rules. So this idea that these are fantastic practical techniques, and part of being here and part of the beauty of the conference like this is that we want to get practical. On the other hand, as Dad is saying, the idea of turning that into a set of rules that we use to follow, it sort of negates the whole idea of what we're here for in the first place, which is to get this into our heart.
Now you can get this diagram right here on the Navigator's website. And there's other helpful things at just navigators.org, and then start clicking around, and you'll come up with things. So now we want to practice. So let's see. There's a just read the verse or get him to read it, and work your way through with the retention 5, 10, 50, 100. So if you will just partner up with somebody nearby you, and at the appropriate time I'll whistle, you just stop, and we'll change it just a little bit. So, Michael, if you have to move over here with Mr. Young.
So just to be clear, we're going to just take a couple minutes and just practice. I know you guys aren't as talented of actors as my dad and I are. But just practice going through this simple tool. Let's take the time to do that with a partner.
Okay, let's have a show of hands on something. Did you pick up that one of these five areas you need to do some work on today? If so, lift up your hand. Okay, good. Questions? Questions for Brian? They're giving them away, didn't you know?
Have you ever used this illustration with someone that had told you prior to you doing the illustration that they were that this was just a useless book of old stories and hadn't already put some relevance into the work, you know, themselves into it. I mean, that they weren't believers really at that point.
Good sharing. I don't know. I can't remember a specific detail when I did that. But every chance we have to get somebody into the Word, that's when the things really start happening. Up until then, it's just opinions.
Do you think it's possible for someone to that's not, that doesn't have an open mind to receiving the Word, to get to at least be willing to read it and do something like this? Do you think God can show Himself to them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody said you don't need to ask a question about ballistics to shoot somebody. Just pull the trigger. And the gun and the powder does the rest. So all we have to do is pull the trigger and let the Word do its work. Other questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
We had a question. On what occasion will you show this to some person? What would precipitate sharing with them?
Yeah. When I start with somebody, I normally have a little inventory about what they've done and what they haven't done, so I'm not giving a repeat of something they've learned already. And then I do the wheel illustration. And when I do the hand or the Word of God, I do this. So I do it within the first 2 months. Because if you find that there's a resistance to this, it's a real big problem. And you know, you need to find out pretty soon if that's what's going on. Okay. Another question. Yes?
It's more of a request. I heard a great story from somebody. He had told them several years ago about a tree that he had planted, and that about the fruit that it bore. If you wouldn't mind sharing that with us briefly before the end of our time.
I had always thought it would be nice to have fruit trees in my backyard. So I went down to the nursery, and the guy showed me around, and I picked out one, and I was getting ready to pay for it. And I said, by the way, when will I get my first harvest of oranges or apples? And he said, well, first year you'll have some buds and blossoms, and the next year you'll have something that looks like an apple but is not one. The third year you make one that is one and it tastes like it, but it's kind of bitter. And it's then, but at the end of the fourth year, you should have a nice crop going in. I said to him, I said, well, I can't wait 4 years to get that thing built up. So I walked out with no fruit trees. 4 years later, I'm still sitting there with no fruit trees. That was 5808. And nobody else had the fruit that I could have, maybe should have planted. Yeah. Is that the one? Okay, I've got a question for Brian. Brian, tell us about the state fair.
Okay.
Can you do it in the time we've got?
Yeah. Anybody here been to the Texas State Fair?
Turning them all. Corn dogs.
Yeah, it's like the Oklahoma State Fair, except there's just a lot more batter, right?
Everything's battered.
Actually, so...
Is your mic on?
Am I on? There we go. So... So a quick aside, actually one of my employees for years was at the Texas State Fair the most award-winning vendor in terms of coming up with new fried food. So he came up with the deep-fried peanut butter and jelly and banana sandwich. He's the guy that came up with fried Coke. Let's see, he had... couple of others. He's not the one that did fried beer. He eventually started making so much money selling fried food at the state fair that he stopped working for us and would basically play in his kitchen for 10 months of the year and then make all his living on the 3 weeks that they run the Texas State Fair. The story on the state fair, though, and by the way, you've never seen anybody inhale fried food at the state fair like my father. second to none.
That's what the state fair is all about.
It is. It is. It's about eating. The reason the state fair was on here is if you think back to the idea of reading the Word and getting into the Word. I was at the state fair a few years ago, and I, at the end of the day, in my shame, I wrote down the list of things that I had eaten that day at the state fair. I've got it here. And it was about, that was a typical Texas day, and I think it's September, October when they run the state fair. You think it's fall, but it's actually about 105 degrees. So this is what I had. I had chili cheese fries, corn dogs, I had a Coke Slurpee, pizza bites, fresh squeezed lemonade, frozen key lime pie on a stick.
Let's go.
Dr. Pepper, candy apple, popcorn, cotton candy, a banana strawberry chill. And then I had...
You ate all those things or you just looked at them?
I bought them. And together with my son, we ate them.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the day, I had a bottle of cold, clear ice water. It's just fascinating to me. We live in a day and age when there's so much good material. There's so many messages to listen to. There's so many self-help books that help us to live better lives or study the Word more effectively and efficiently. And much like the state fair, all of that stuff that I ate that day didn't satisfy until the point that I drank that bottle of cold ice water. And it's just a good picture to think of what we really pursue ourselves. We want to fill ourselves up with the, you know, or the, at the end of the day, that was the only thing decent that I had all day long. So that was a state fair story. It's not a very good story, but it was on the list. Dad's here.
We've got 1 minute.
He can answer questions, and I'll direct questions to him. But maybe, Dad, if you would pray to close us out.
Brian came last night at 1, and he's got to go back now for a director's meeting. He has in his command or under his authority about 2,500 people. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the CEO. So, like father, like son. Let me pray. Dear Lord God, I pray that tools and not rules would be the thing we can carry out of here, and many other little tidbits and ideas. I pray that that would stick to us. Stick to us. Nice and tight, stick and fit. Fit. And I thank you for the opportunity that each one of us can have sometime within the next 2 weeks of sharing this illustration with at least one other person while it's fresh. Take care of us. Keep us safe. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.